You are listening to Something Weird. I am your co-host, Anna.
And this is Brooke. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or even just a little bit weird. We're lifelong friends who have had an affinity for the strange since we met, and now we're here to explore these phenomena with you.
Each week, one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? And it's my time to shine. We might need a little recap into last week's episode. Brooke, do you want to give us a quick rundown on a little somewhere we like to call Area 51 with a little someone we like to call Bob Lazar?
Bobby! Okay, putting me on the spot. So here's your rundown. Area 51, it's a government-run training, Air Force, secret projects, all the good stuff. People want to get into it for some reason because we think that there's aliens there. Why do we think there's aliens there? Mostly it goes back to Bob Lazar. In the late 80s, he came forward, made some really big claims about what was going down at Area 51. Most of it had to do with UFOs. So now the internet is planning the raid on Area 51, and it's pretty amazing. That's about it.
Pretty much it in a nutshell. If you haven't listened, I would say go back and listen.
Go listen.
So we didn't even plan this, by the way, to have another duo episoder.
Two-parter.
Yeah. It just so happens we were on the same wavelength. This week, I'm going to continue on our thread of Area 51. Because it seems like all of the universe has now jumped on board. You say Bob Lazar was the reason Area 51 is part of pop culture now, like the big brouhaha around it. All the interest now started with him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it started with him because I feel like that's a little stupid. I don't know what I'm looking for, so I'm just going to say stupid, because I'm sure a lot of people knew a lot of stuff before him, but I'm saying he made it this like media phenomenon that people like listened to and mm-hmm. seemed to care about that maybe otherwise wouldn't have cared.
So he was basically like the Kardashian of his time. I'm just thinking about his like total ineptness, but he was actually really smart. So
I know. It's like, I think that's offensive to him.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, Bunny Ranch. Oof. That's sad. Sorry, Lamar. Go ahead.
What?
Lamar.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's like when he almost died. He was at the Bunny Ranch. Lamar Odom?
He was?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we went another full circle here.
Yes,
unplanned. Okay.
How do you know about the Bunny Ranch if you don't know about Lamar Odom? Anna.
I have no idea.
That's why I know about it, but okay.
Research.
Yeah.
Okay. So Area 51 is having a big moment because of Bob Lazar and the Facebook group or the event Storm Area 51. So everyone seems to know about Area 51 and all of its offerings, but maybe they don't.
Oh.
Maybe they do. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't think a lot of people understand how far-reaching it is. It's not just a landing site for some grays or greens. They don't just have UFOs flying around. It's mm-hmm. has a long, deep history. It can only begin, you know, within the next however long you give me of your life. So do you know the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yeah, with like George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's based on true events. The U.S. Army has confirmed that. It's no secret. Yeah. In the 70s and early 80s, they tried to use basically paranormal phenomena to experiment mind control on goats mm-hmm. In operations like the Stargate Project. So they were open to exploring the paranormal and seeing how anything like that could help U.S. Army in continuing their efforts.
Okay.
I mean, it just goes so far beyond just the idea of a general vicinity. It's not just like a little hot spot. So we're going to obviously take a little jaunt down to New Mexico. And where are we going? We're going to dive deep into Dolce. Which
Dolce?
Is the Dolce?
Dolce. Like Dolce and Gabbana.
Like sugar.
Right? Okay. Or sweet. No, that's sucre. Dolce is like sweet.
Okay, sweet. Dolce.
Okay. Sweet.
So it's the biggest alien attraction in New Mexico.
Huh.
If you look into, well, that's not true. Roswell. Roswell is clearly the biggest because everyone knows about that.
Right.
But Dolce Base is pretty much at the heart of a huge conspiracy theory that claims that jointly operated human and alien facility exists under the Archuleta Mesa on the Colorado-New Mexico border near Dolce, New Mexico.
Okay.
And it's smack dab on the Jicarilla Apache Reservation. And claims of alien activity first arose. So before we jump into all of these characters, you might want to pull out a notepad and pen. There are a lot of players in this specific case, which is interesting because it's pretty high profile. So it's not just one person kind of coming out with this. It's a number of people corroborating and pretty much saying the same thing to a different, to varying degrees. Well, this all starts with an underground nuclear detonation carried out at the United States Energy Commission on December 10th in 1967. This was at the base of Mount Archuleta for Operation Plowshare, which was a program designed to find peaceful uses for nuclear explosions.
Oh, peaceful.
That seems like a really crappy cover, but
what is a peaceful use for a nuclear explosion?
I don't know.
That seems like a little bit of a stretch.
It's a total oxymoron.
Yeah.
Like maybe if you had a nuclear explosion with seeds in it and then it planted a bunch of seeds.
I don't think that would be peaceful either. Think about those little seeds going flying through the air.
I know. Maybe they were really small seeds. I have no idea. This isn't me. This is the Army, all right?
All right.
People were wondering, though, what was this underground detonation actually used for? Like, there were these huge explosions. What were they actually doing? Because if anyone ever heard that, they were likely like us, saying, what the hell? There is no peaceful use for an explosion, so that's a stupid cover. If everything lines up, all signs point to those explosions being the cause or creation of a space for the Dolce facility, subterranean laboratory dedicated to general effects of radiation mutations in human genetics.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like more the speed of what we know the government's capable of and humans are capable of, and generally the route that we tend to take, not peaceful steps. It's usually like figuring out, okay, what are we going to do with the radiation?
Right. Or an attack of the many other powerhouses that could come after us.
Yeah, true.
We got to deal with it somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, how are we going to make this work? In this joint based at Dolce, it said that there were humans and aliens working together on this project. And that's why it had to be subterranean. They wanted to keep it quiet, but they were probably interested in seeing how, if push came to shove, how could we work together to make humanity continue onwards and upwards? I have no real idea. I can't tell you why they started this. But that's what was happening. So they were working together, but there were tensions. You know, we can't even work with our coworkers without it being stressful. So I can only imagine what it would be like interspecies, secret subterranean laboratory.
Yeah.
Tensions were high.
Were they? I was going to say maybe it was even more peaceful because they're not humans working with humans, and humans are idiots and can't seem to work together. But I take that.
Well, if aliens are anything like us, which I kind of would just assume they would be. I mean, I would hope more enlightened and smarter and put together, but ultimately they're still beings with egos and like complexes. So anyway, they're freaking out. In 1979, it just blew up. They just started fighting. And this little underground war is what exposed Dulce Base. There are different accounts of how the fight started. Pretty much though, everyone was tense. They were getting paranoid that someone would find them out. And they were just working underground. That would be stressful. Around 60 men died during the Dulce War, and 44 escaped. This is when things got out to the public, whistleblower style. Of these 44 survivors from the Dulce War, there was Thomas Costello. Thomas Costello was a security guard, and Thomas Costello was likely a fake name. The Dulce papers are basically like the packet that he had compiled from his time in the laboratory.
Okay.
So he pulled and he had created information, drawn pictures, written notes, and basically put together a little dossier about what was going on. And so he sent those to a number of people not involved in the organization or the testing or really anything within that world at all, so that they wouldn't be tied to it. He would contact them every 6 months. His instructions were that if he missed reaching them for 6 month segments at a time, then they could basically just share that information with anyone, because it was likely that he was gone, dead, or just had no reason to have his identity protected anymore anyway. One of these people, though, leaked the papers, but you can imagine. Maybe it was an accidental one, too. Like,
is it, though?
I'll bet if... I don't know. Would you tell anyone if I told you, you cannot tell a soul? A soul!
Well, it's coming from you, then, like, I'm going to respect that. If it's coming from...
Okay, say it's coming from someone you went to college with.
But why would they care enough about me to share?
They don't. But they're just saying, okay, you're kind of a random person. You're someone I trust, but we don't have any strong connections or ties that someone would go, she is a person that he has had contact with. I feel like I would spill the beans.
Oh, I would spill the beans in a second.
Yeah. I would tell you if someone else told me not to tell anyone.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to come to you first and probably get on the podcast and tell people. So. No, I take it back. Send us your stories, your big secrets. But just like, let us know.
I would tell my loved ones. That's probably it. I don't know.
My cats. I'd tell Twitter. I'd tell the goldfish at the Chinese restaurant.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you my world-ending secrets.
Unless you put it on an encrypted drive and say, this is absolutely top secret. Like, you have to be so... Okay, so anyway, going back, those people knew because he was reaching out every 6 months, like he was serious. So,
okay.
Inclusive in these documents, these fancy top secret documents, were 25 black and white photos, which were a mix of illustrations and photos, a 6-minute video of the Dulce facility, no speaking, along with this tape, which we have no access to, a set of technical papers about the Dulce facility. So a little Airbnb welcome papers saying, these are the local snacks. Your Wi-Fi password is, I love Grays, 123.
Be sure to strip the beds. Leave the key in the lockbox.
Strip your skin.
Oh my God.
The Dulce papers are basically like the packet that he had compiled from his time in the laboratory. Covertly, research has been going on for years at the Dulce Biogenetics Labs. Level 6 is hauntingly known by employees as Nightmare Hall. It holds the genetic labs at Dolce, and reports from workers who have seen bizarre experimentation are as follows. I've seen multi-legged humans that look like half human, half octopus. Also reptilian humans and furry creatures that have hands like humans and cries like a baby. It mimics human words. Also huge mixture of lizard humans in cages. There are fish, seals, birds, and mice that can barely be considered those species. There are several cages and vats of winged humanoids, grotesque bat-like creatures, but 3.5 to 7 feet tall, gargoyle-like beings, and dracoreptoids. Level 7 is worse, row after row of thousands of humans and human mixtures in cold storage. Here, too, are embryo storage vats of humanoids in various stages of development. I frequently encountered humans in cages, usually dazed or drugged, but sometimes they cried and begged for help. We were told they were helplessly insane and involved in high-risk drug tests to cure insanity. We were told to never try to speak to them at all. At the beginning, we believed that story. In 1978, a small group of workers discovered the truth. It began the Dolce Wars. Here we go.
Wait, hold on. I'm processing.
Yeah.
That was a lot. When did this start?
In 1978, it's when the work was kind of at its height, and 1979 began the Dolce Wars.
Just one big kind of conflict. Did you say what year this facility was built and opened? Like, when did it start operating? Do we know?
So the nuclear detonation, the testing, started in 67. So that would have given them time to build and begin operations and whatnot.
So we're like 12 years in at this point.
Mm-hmm. Things are established.
I don't know if this is like a problematic connection to make, but like hearing that, I don't even like question it for a second. I mean, obviously the winged humanoids and stuff like that sounds outlandish, but the idea of like doing this genetic testing and like fucking with these people, I don't even question it when you think of like, again, this is kind of extreme, but they did it in concentration camps.
Yeah.
That was like a specific use for the prisoners, was to just see what was going on with them and like do all of these experiments and torture them. And we think of these people as so evil, but our government is very well capable of been doing the same thing.
And not only that, some came to the US and were protected.
Right.
So
by the very government that is allegedly doing these things. That's horrifying. That's terrible.
Well, when you hear one piece at a time, yeah, that sounds ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then when you start corroborating like the tortures and like absolute horrors and terrors that humans are messed up.
They're so capable of horrible things.
If they're in a place that has the funding and space and capabilities, what's stopping them?
This is taking a dark turn. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I was going to actually wait for this one for a couple weeks, because I didn't want to do like the animal mutilations and then this. I had like a light one.
We're just getting heavy stuff out of the way.
Yeah, got to bring everyone down hard so anything feels like a breath of fresh air.
Well, then they can go back and watch us with a different perspective.
Yeah.
It all connects, people. It all connects.
Yeah, Jordan, you have us to thank for making your blockbuster.
For filling the truly holes in the plot. We figured it out. Don't worry.
Oh, brother.
Okay, so we now, like, we have a reason as to why this war, this conflict erupted. People started figuring it out.
Yeah, tensions were high because they realized how fucking wrong things were.
Right.
The aliens probably just didn't care. And then things just got a bit messy. Okay, so player number two, Phil Schneider, who is a geological engineer. He was contracted by the Gov for a project called Dumb.
Dumb? Yes. Like D-U-M-B?
Yes.
Dumb.
Which stands for Deep Underground Military Bases.
That's fucking stupid.
I work for dumb. So Phil Schneider, he says there's a system of over 100 interconnected subterranean tunnels of dumb, which it's so interesting. This year, we continue to talk about it, but it's been such a big year for all of these theories. And we were just talking about us, how there are confirmed subterranean tunnels.
And most of which we don't know why.
It's not like it was a mall at one point and it just didn't do well. It's like no one really ever knows what the point of them.
Oof, that's were. So creepy. Oh, maybe we all do have our what are they called? They're our tetherds.
You've heard of doppelgangers.
Yeah. But I never thought of a doppelganger as like a evil or like a threat to me. Just like a I just thought it was kind of like a happy coincidence. Like, yeah, you had another you out there. That's cute. I didn't think of it as like a they're gonna come and stab me with scissors someday.
Oh yeah, I don't know. So many different ways this could go. Anyway, there are tunnels. They're under the ground. We don't know why they're there, what they're being used for now, what they were used for. Mr. Phil Schneider says, to give you an overview of basically what I am, I started off and went through engineering school. Half of my schooling was in that field, and I built up a reputation for being a geological engineer, as well as a structural engineer with both military and aerospace applications. I've helped build two main bases in the United States that have some significance as far as what is called the New World Order. The first base is the one at Dulce, New Mexico.
Is this just another Bob Lazar?
Hey, you said Bob Lazar was a self-proclaimed one.
Yes.
And a pimp, like an actual pimp.
Okay, yeah. Bob Lazar has some issues, but I'm just saying, is this another guy that's claiming things that we can't necessarily prove?
Well, I don't really know, because he was found dead in January of 1996.
Great.
It was ruled a suicide, but it sounds more like a murder, depending on who you ask, because he was found with piano wire or a catheter cord, just again, depending on your source, wrapped around his neck. So he had been strangled to death. He also had cancer, which are many accounts of those who've been abducted or had encounters die from cancer, or they have issues with cancer later in life. Two strange things.
Is that like radiation exposure?
Could be, or just being in contact with other
just something foreign.
Yeah, free radicals that we're just not used to.
Spooky. Okay.
We also have player number three. This master and commander is named Paul Benowitz.
Did we see Master and Commander together?
We watched it with your dad.
Oh, just and my dad?
No, I think we watched it with both our dads.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-hour long movie about a ship.
A ship. Russell Crowe. I don't even know what that movie was about.
I couldn't tell you. The name, the title though, is fantastic.
I feel like we talk about it a lot, Master and Commander, but
that and
Knights and Rodanthe.
Yes.
I've never even seen that movie before.
Knights and Rodanthe.
Knights and Rodanthe.
No, I definitely haven't seen it. That's not up my alley.
That was just like walking through Blockbuster with you and seeing that and just Safeway. You're right. You're right.
We read a checkout line. And people, this was how long ago? And I can't even remember what I ate for lunch. Like, that memory, how we discovered Knights and Rodanthe.
Knights and Rodanthe. With that. Richard Gere and someone.
Oh, gotta look it up.
Diane Lane?
Yes.
Is that it? Yes, Diane Lane. Fucking crushed it. in that stupid ass house. What is that movie about? Oh man, that got me. That house leads to the underground tunnels that were built to do this testing. It was in Rodanthe. It was Richard Gere this whole time.
We always knew things were a bit weird with that man.
Wasn't he the guy with the hamster?
Yeah.
Where did that story come from?
That's all I can, that's what I connect to him now is like, okay, anyway.
Did he die? Okay.
Keep well, going. No, that's the point.
Or am I misunderstanding it? Because this is sixth grade, Brooke.
No, I thought the same thing. I was like, wow.
A few moments later.
No.
Like, that's more horrifying than the Dolce Labs.
I'm just thinking, it's like, you know, we have technology. I am sure there is shit that you can buy that does something similar. So why?
Absolutely.
Like, I've seen those Instagram ads for that thing. Just me.
I'm getting like Lively bras and fucking Amazon Fresh.
I get that shit too. I follow that. No, it's because I follow that Girls Think I'm Funny account.
I'm scared.
And she's always posting stuff about like sex things. And one of them like moves around and does a bunch of stuff, and there's a diagram.
A diagram?
It's like, I'm just saying, the technology is out there.
How did we get there? Oh, Master and Commander.
Master and Commander. Okay.
So, Polly.
He was an electronic specialist who began filming, photographing, and electronically intercepting UFO activity and communications traced near the Archuleta Mesa, or again, the Jicarilla Apache Reservation near Dolce. Benowitz's research revealed information he said made government officials nervous. So he was intercepting all of their AOL instant messages, back and forth. No, that was way too early.
He was picking up what they were putting down. In 1980, Air Force Office of Special Intelligence, FOSI, began investigating Benowitz and led to a disinformation campaign to discredit him. To prevent him from further discovering more secret programs, government operatives, namely Richard Doty, were tasked with feeding Benowitz false stories about alien bases in New Mexico. So there was someone specifically out there to basically tell lies to Benowitz to make him sound like he was just even more off his rocker. Because they wanted him to come across to the public or anyone who was listening is like, all right, it's this guy. He clearly does not know what he's talking about because these are so false.
Just like a total crackpot. So they were feeding him false information.
So the government was also assisted by famous ufologist William Moore, who actually co-authored the Roswell incident. So both Doty and Moore's efforts basically drove Benowitz to the brink of paranoid insanity. So they drove him crazy, literally drove him crazy. Yeah. Pretty awful. But again, there's testing on people underground. Like that's,
yeah.
What's one Benowitz in a...
What's one more person in their messed up game?
So the propagation basically of the Dolce Air Force Base battle though, and sharing most of that information is given to Benowitz. He was really the person who got that out, and then he got shut down.
Hmm.
Poor Benny. All right. Well, either way, it's shitty. You know, if his story was proven to be fabricated, where does Schneider's story fit in?
Right.
You know, where does Costello's story fit in?
Well, they're all supporting each other because it's, that's a good number of voices saying relatively the same thing. So,
and how were they connected? Mm-hmm. And if they were, other than the actual incidents themselves, were Doty and Moore part of that? Were they kind of instructing it behind the scenes?
Right.
Who was that? That was our number two.
That was number three.
Our three.
Great.
So we're on to four, ending with Gabe Valdez. an account from a state trooper in 1975. So this was really pretty much like in the middle of when Dolce Base, it had already started, operations were likely to have begun. Gabe Valdez reports that he had come across a mutilated cattle carcass
in what?
The field outside of Dolce.
Great.
Back to it.
It's all connected.
Yeah. They would start with lower beings on the totem pole to figure out how things were generally working. So they're going to start with cows and they're going to move up to humans. And so.
So is the answer to the animal mutilations? It wasn't either or. Was it both? Aliens and government?
Your face right now.
You got a 2 thumbs up from this person. This is just mind-boggling, though. Valdez said he discovered a fetus inside the cattle that he described as looking like a human, a monkey, and a frog. It didn't have any bones in the head. It was all full of water. He said what he saw looked like an incubation chamber for a cloned creature, much like the experiments purported to have taken place deep underground.
Oh.
After discovering the carcass, Valdez says that he found a listening device in his home and continued to report UFO sightings. He also says, though, he thinks the UFOs that he saw were not necessarily extraterrestrial, but highly advanced stealth military aircraft, including silent black helicopters.
What?
Yeah.
The helicopters.
I know, but silent.
Goddamn helicopters.
For freaking copters.
This is all the technology that Bob Lazar was working on.
Ah! Isn't it insane? So it's said that after the war, portions of the base were temporarily closed well into the mid-80s, and there was a noticeable drop in human and animal abductions in the area. Like specifically the reports of missing livestock and missing persons decreased during that time frame where the base was temporarily closed.
Wow. I'm just deep in thought right now.
It makes you wonder about everything.
Yeah. Like how many of these like separate accounts that you hear that are actually very connected.
Just a big book, basically. Think of this. If you read like each story from the Chronicles of Narnia separately, you'd be like, what the heck? Like, this is bonkers. And it still is, but it's an excellent story that's woven together. And it really does create this bigger picture of like, okay, this is a story that makes sense. And, but if you heard about, you know, beaver wearing pants, you'd be like, okay, whatever.
But, Mr. Tumbus.
Yeah.
Yikes. Fuck, man.
That was a lot to take in. I've just kind of pummeled you with information. And I don't blame you if you need to take some time to unpack that.
I'm just like, I'm intrigued. I'm horrified. I'm confused. I have so many emotions. But I'm kind of excited because I love that we did this on accident. And I love that we essentially just supported each other's arguments. This shit's real.
Well, listeners, if we haven't lost you by now, I'm surprised.
Such a shit show.
Clearly, we are on board for this one. There's no doubt in my mind that some of this is true. It's difficult to know because there are so many stories, there are so many accounts, and admittedly, we know that some of them are, some of these people have been influenced specifically by the government and outside sources,
right,
to discredit them. So,
right. Yeah, which is really frustrating to, I mean, to answer our ultimate question, do we want to believe? Like, absolutely, 100% in this case. But I don't know what to believe. Yeah, like how much of this information has actually been meddled with to the point that we're not getting a clear picture of what's happening.
Clearly the propaganda worked. That was the point. Here we are, you know, 40 years later, you know, we don't know what is fact and what is fiction. I just sent you a link though to a couple of the pictures of the Dolce papers.
Oh, look, there's a little diagram of a person in it too.
A little diagram. You know where we see those diagrams.
AdamandEve.com.
This one's called The Alien. Pleasure is out of this world.
The diagrams are a little juvenile, I will say.
All right, but have, like, you seen most people's drawings?
Yeah, that's true.
That's some, like, pretty solid penmanship. Particularly if you're kind of trying to jot it down on the fly.
Yeah, no, that's true. These are my final thoughts. There's truth in this, and there's like connections to everything that we've been talking about for our past few weeks, really, that just make me believe it so much more. And if these people have been influenced, or if they're just nuts and like completely out of their minds and making this stuff up and drawing these diagrams just out of their imagination, it doesn't make me think that this isn't true. It just makes me think that there's more going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just makes me think that maybe they have lost their mind, but why? Where are these delusions coming from?
Yeah.
There's some truth. I don't know to what degree, but
it's like psychologically and physiologically proven that sometimes we literally cannot comprehend what we've seen or heard or experienced. Right. And we either don't remember it at all, or that trauma or experience can be turned into something else entirely. So I know exactly what you mean. It stems from something, but the specifics may not actually be
true,
literal to right. how they're being shared or expressed.
Mm-hmm. But wow, what a roller coaster. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, you have our thoughts, our very twisted, muddled, yet strangely clear thoughts on Dolce in Area 51. That is not somewhere I want to go storm. They might welcome you. And anyone who does go missing, well, you were a bit insane to think you could actually storm the base Naruto style anyway, weren't you? Well, yeah, they would probably actually like turn you away. They'd be like, no, we need a higher being than you. Thanks, but no thanks.
Oh gosh. So tell us what you believe. We would love to know your thoughts on this twisted and fascinating tale that we've been telling really for the past few weeks since we figured it out. It's all connected. And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast.
And we want to hear your stories. We want to hear every little story that you have, as long as it has to do with the paranormal or just a weird experience. We love hearing them, and we'd love to share. Could be spooky, paranormal, or just plain weird. You know the drill. You can find us on Patreon, where you can donate and keep things weird.
We're excited to start connecting with you, our listeners, and have you see a little bit more as to what goes into these podcasts and our strange stories that we tell. And we've also got some special new treats in the works that we'll be sharing soon.
Yes, we do. We've got an extra special moment. It's very heartwarming and actually just hugely exciting for us, which is kind of sad. But thank you to our first sponsor, Mitch.
Mitch!
Boo, boo, boo. Boo, boo, boo. You have the title of Master and Commander, officially part of the club. Thank you.
Lucky you.
Thank you for being a monthly contributor. It seriously means the world to us. And hopefully, you know, many good things, many baby truth will be born of this sponsorship. You're responsible for that. So thanks, bud. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Mitch.
So, if you liked our episode or just our podcast in general, let us know with a big old 5-star review. It makes a huge difference. And, you know, we all just want the truth out there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Stay weirdy.